what has been spoken about, that the inner being Chishtir Vatnali. His sheikh was Sheikh Harun, and in the first meeting, Sheikh Harun had told him that he got ijazat. He came, and immediately he tells him that he's got ijazat. So you don't need to stay any longer. He's coming from Iraq, a place called Sajistan. Those that are in the Dora, they are quite familiar with the word Sajistan. Imam Abu Dawud, Suleiman ibn Amash, he hails from this place. But then you have this Qawwali people, Qawwali. So they have to make it into a song. So when they make it into a song, so they change the words a little bit to get the rhythm right. So they say Sanjari. So now the Sanjari, what Sanjari? It was Sijistan. And from Sijistan they change into Sanjari. He comes from here, everything has been complete. So in spite of him getting the ijazat now, he can carry on doing work, he preferred living with his sheikh for 20 years. And when we say 20 years, then 20 years uninterrupted. Stayed there for 20 years and 20 years uninterrupted. These people's hearts and minds were different. There was nothing that was deterring them from the sheikh. Had a clear mind, open heart, and so the flow was just coming in. Now with the passage of time, what happens? There's a lot of filth, a lot of muck on the way. And then there's that muck and that filth on the way. The flow, it's like it's supposed to be, but it's all getting contaminated. When you're getting contaminated, you're getting a contaminated version. So what came from the heavens was pure and clean. Right? It first falls onto the roof, and the roof will then supply the tank. But if the roof is polluted, like in Springer Beach sometimes, with these monkeys and all jumping all over, right? And they blocked all the gutters with their filth, right? Now, when they block the gutters with their filth, the water is going through. So what type of water you get? You get pure or polluted? Polluted. So the pollution is there somewhere. And it's coming pure, but when it's coming in contact and it's getting polluted, you're getting a polluted version, you're not getting the pure, clean, crystal water. So here what's required is from the side of the mustafis, the one that is taking the benefit, the person that came to learn, he must have a pure talab. Talab, but the talab must be pure, absolutely clean. So his heart cannot be diluted, polluted, mixed up, he can't be. The more he's going to have all these type of things, then this whole journey will be delayed. So his heart must be absolutely pure, clean, unpolluted. On the road you'll find some things, and especially nowadays, that will pollute and will complicate your mind, see. It'll pollute your mind, it'll complicate your mind. Sometimes the sheikh will try you out, and sometimes you get into a problem. A person is coming to see a sheikh, so he sees as though the sheikh is drinking some wine. And he's got a young boy, very, very beautiful, and he's kissing the boy. Now, his mind is working. There's two people came and they saw this happening. So the one person, when he saw this, he escaped. He ran away. He said, I didn't have all this. The other person says, no, I came for some other work. I didn't come to see all this. My work is to obtain, to learn from the person, his life and all that, that's not my work, not my business. What he's doing, whether it's right or not right, I don't know about it. And it's not my work to go and examine what he's doing, what his personal behavior. And really, I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, Sheikh came around and he saw that one person had already run away. So why you remained here? You know, see, my purpose was not to see your life. Your personal life was not for me to see. Yes, my purpose for coming here is to learn from you. So that is a different thing altogether. And learning from you is a different thing altogether. There may be a permissible reason why you were doing whatever you were doing. There was a permissible reason for you doing that. And it was not for me to get into it. But whether it was permissible or not, in my heart I feel what you were doing was right. So the Shaykh got happy, says, see, this child here is my son. Right? He's my own son, so I can cuddle him, I can kiss him, I can do everything with him. And the wine that you saw me drinking wasn't wine, it was a bottle, right? It seemed like a wine bottle, and I was drinking water from that. But it was meant to try out what's the level of your clarity. Coming with a clear heart, or you're coming with a complicated, confused mind. See? So from the talib, the one that is coming to learn, so he has to come to learn, but with a clear talab, the search, and the thirst must be clear, pure. We will not say, now this is a standard. You see, sometimes these stories are supposed to be only for a khanqa reason, right? You're not supposed to be practicing like this. You can't go and go into a madrasa or a masjid and take one boy and kiss him. You can't do all this thing here, right? And then say that to my son. In a madrasa you won't do it. In a tabligh jamaat you won't do it. The standards are different here, there. The standards are different here. The requirements are different there. The requirements are different here. You understand the requirements. Now why you won't practice this in a madrasa, why you won't practice that in tabligh jamaat? You won't practice it there because hadith says you must abstain from areas of doubt. You must abstain from areas of doubt. So you will practice the hadith there. This is an area of doubt and I need to be keeping myself clear of that. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in i'tikaf and he saw Hazrat Safiya radiyallahu anha, it is the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, one of the respected wives. And Rasulullah s.a.w. accompanied her to the entrance of the masjid, where he saw two Ansari Sahaba kiram. And these two Ansari Sahaba saw Rasulullah s.a.w. with a woman, and they sped on, moved on quickly. So Rasulullah s.a.w. asked them, Allah rislikuma, just hold on, just hold on. Hadi Safiya, this is my respected wife. So they exclaimed, Ya Rasulullah, of all people, we can't have doubts about your personality. He says, yes, but I was afraid Shaitan may instill some doubt into your mind about my person. And you will have doubts about your Nabi, you can't progress after that. Then the whole road is jammed up. Then you don't know in Islam, can you imagine that one doubt about the Nabi that just throws you on, you can't move on. So the Shaykh now is the deputy of the Nabi. When he's the deputy of the Nabi, and you have doubts, you have superstition or suspicions about him, and you move, you can't move. You think, I'm sitting here, I'm going to be benefiting. So the talib, the student, needs to have a clear talab. Now, they put him into the mull, the stab of, so that he must understand that he comes here, he must come with a clear mind. So the whole thing is that how clear, how clean is your mind? The mind, your trust about the person that you are receiving from, how clear it is. But the reason why they test you like this is because, as Azadi Rahmatullah should say, that the suluk, what you are threading, right, it's very, very refined, extremely refined. You know, but the most refined thing you get is an angel, malaika, right? In hada illa malakun kareem. Those sawahib Yusuf also said, in haza illa malakun kareem. So the most refined thing that you can get is an angel. But now this path of suluk is even more refined than an angel. So can you imagine now what level of purity of mind is required for you to be able to progress? One is you come, alright, the normal benefit you would get, like for example, you get some drive, get a charge, you're going, coming back, get another charge, going back. So that is normal thing, right? But one is now, you want to be permanently charged. It mustn't be now, I came, I got a charge, and I'm going. No. So you need what you want. You want that nur-e faham, that faham. That fiqh-e batin will bring you to nur-e faham. Right? Now that nur-e faham, how do you get it? See, it's so, such a refined thing, that it is more pure, more refined, even than the soul of an angel. So now, what does that require? In the words of Imam Thani Sahib, that requires association. You try any other way, you can't get it. Sahaba Ikram, they got it from Rasulullah Paksan, that association. And the Tabi'in got it from the Sahaba Ikram, same association. Then the Tabi Tabi'in, they got it from the Tabi'in. Again, how they got it? They got it from association. Minus the association, they couldn't get it. As the association was there, and was built, and was strong, like it was desired, now they got it. They got it. You look at our Akabit, same association. They would see Hazrat Mawla Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, and his impassionate affinity with his Ustad and his Sheikh, Hazrat Sheikh Huseyn Rahmatullahi, right? Can't separate him. Going to prison, Malta is taken as a prisoner, and Hazrat Sheikh al-Islam is innocent, no crime. But somehow he says, no, you have to take me. He made up a case against himself, you have to take me. Because if you don't take me, see, there's a lot of support I've got here. And because of my support, there'll be a revolt. And people will revolt against the government, so it's better that I be taken away as well. My presence here will create a revolt, and when there's going to be a revolt, it'll be complicate the government issues. So it is important for you to take me. So you see, he got himself imprisoned. He got himself. Now that was the taluk, the association he had. And then on account of that association, what happened after that, the type of work that Allah took from Hazrat Shaykh Huseyn Rahmatullahi, then it flowed with Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, the same work, the acceptance throughout internationally, anywhere you look in the world, anywhere, be it America, Australia, South Africa, England, anywhere, then all have got the blessings, the treasure of Hadith through Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi. Like originally they got it from Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullahi. Then after that, coming down the line, then it came via Hazrat Madani Sahib. How Allah gave it? See that association, that affinity Allah blessed him. And this association and affinity is not from now, not from Uliya wa Buzhuwaladi. I was reading some kitabs. So in the time of the Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah, Yahya ibn al-Qattan, all these people here, right? Muhammad ibn Sa'id al-Qattan, Yahya ibn al-Ma'in, all these people, right? So at that time, now the ta'alluq with the instructor or the teacher or the sheikh is so great, lesson is going to start at Fajr, right? That's the time the lesson is going to start. Fajr namazan. But in order to get the places, they are there at the spot from Asr time. Can you imagine? From Asr time, they are there, they reserve the spot to be there right in front of the Ustad at Fajr. So otherwise they would have got a space, but right somewhere, right behind somewhere. Right? But now to be right in the front row and to have the first direct relationship. You are such now, the place is now sometimes open. It's an open field, right? That's where they're having the lesson. Open field, some shade there. They're having the lessons there, right? So, one muhaddith says that I saw people waiting there. I was amazed. 8 hours, 10 hours at a time. one person that was there, so he needed to urinate. So he had a thick shawl he had. He urinated in that and left it on side, outside. He left it so that it doesn't have an odor. But he won't give the place up. Now, for us it looks very distant, right? But you see that impassioned, that type of love and all that, respect they had. What type, what level they brought it. Now, this is I'm talking about in the time of Imam Bukhari at that time. That was the type of association. One person says, that, you know, I came there 2.5 hours in advance. But the whole place was choked, the doors like as though closed. I can't get there. He says this to his student. His student came in, and he came in from head to the toe. He was drenching in water, soaking wet. Heavy rain, it came in the rain. So he says to his student that you still got away very cheap. You got away very cheap. Because when I went to stay with my sheikh, I went to stay, right? Say a couple of good years. And, you know, one day the place was choked, no place to come in. The doors are closed, you can't. Now I am desperate to get in. So I'm looking, how can I get in? So I saw a drain or something, and I followed the thing, and you see that wound I got is up, it's on my body till now. It's 20 years, and I still got the mark of the wound here, over his hand. Right till the bone was cut. But he said, I won't, now for anything in the world, I won't give up. But now that affinity, that mahabbat, that association had to be escalated to that level. See, when this bhangra and this song, the singers have come, that's how people get mad, right? If someone knows about this qawwalis and people that this India singers are coming, and how people go mad for them. So if you know a little bit of it, how the thing goes and how people get mad, they do anything, you know, everything happens at them. So these people's association with their elders was to that level. So they're so enthusiastic. So then, when they went, and very quickly they got the charge was there. So we talk about Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullahi. So in his first encounter, the Shaykh is saying, no, you've got it. There's no point in you staying here. I said, no, I'm going to stay here. He stayed there 20 years, not separating. 20 years. Right. After the 20 years, then he got an inspiration perhaps from the Surah Pak Slotsam. But now you go on to India. And I say, some historians, they make a mistake. They say that he brought Islam to India. Now, I told that according to the recorded history, Islam had reached Bombay, Surat, Nandir, this whole belt, this one belt, see. This whole belt, Islam had reached 5 years after Rasulullah came into the world. So there's a lot of Islam in this place, lots of Islam. Therefore, till now, you get a grave of a Tabi'i man there. But the Sahaba Kiram is already coming, because it's the fifth year. So there couldn't be just any ordinary people, there could have been all Sahaba Kiram that came in. Right. So Islam was flourishing. But then, Inuddin Chishti, he's coming 576 somewhere, right? That's now 500 years after. Here, 5 years they were there already. And this is 576. So what was the reason for him to come? I explained that once earlier. See, in every century you have a revivalist. The Nabi comes and he sets the whole trend, the whole record, the whole law, everything is set up. The administration of Islam, everything is put in place, everything is right. And the Nabi comes in. But with the passage of time, many things are misplaced and displaced. It's supposed to be here, it's going there, it's supposed to be there. Many things are displaced, many things are displaced. Right? So now, this Mujaddid has to come and needs to replace. What is deplaced and misplaced, he will take it and put it in its place again. So he's got a big task, very big task he's got. Things have gone completely off now, he has to bring it back on course. Right? You think it's an easy thing, it's a very difficult thing. Now, when this Diobandi Ulama Kiram, they started about the bidat and all that, right? And how they got labeled? Up till now, they labeled them kafirs and whatever. But the whole idea was to replace. Whatever was displaced, well, they had to replace the thing, right? I know when we were small, right? So they got weddings, right? What was should be happening? Muslim weddings. It's like, when you start children, right? For the excitement, you go and see a Hindu wedding. I was about 6, 7 years of age. You see a Muslim wedding, you see all these things, all the show. If you're a child now, you see all the show what happens. So what happens at a Hindu wedding happens at a Muslim wedding. Now the bride is entering the home, for example, so they cover up with tamarind, right? They cover up with that, right? Hindus do the same thing. Now, then again, as the wedding is in process, right? So they put the still wedding ceremony. So you know this velan that we used to roll out bread, right? The bride's party and the groom's party, woman now, they get to one neutral place, and they're crossing the velan, like, you know, exposed, like. I don't know what they call it, but they do. But all these things, we saw these things, you see. We saw these things, but all these things come from Hinduism. And everything is coming from Hinduism, and we think it's part of our nikah. It must be part of the nikah, right? Now they modified it with some mehndi party and bridal shower and all that, right? Before it was from Hinduism, and now it's from Christianity. Who's the oldest thing? Christians that are doing it. Christians are doing it, so we're copying it, right? So, same things, they were from Hinduism, now it's from Christianity. It doesn't improve it in any way. They got the bridal shower, then they got you walking the bride, right, on the aisle. So you must walk with her, hold her hand, and then they play the music, and then she's gone up to the aisle. Where they got it from? It's all Christianity. All Christianity. So now someone wants to make it Muslim, what he'll do? He'll walk the bride on two, right, the aisle, but they'll have the Quran Sharif beside. So what Karisat told me, he did. He was there. And instead of putting the music, he had to, the bride had to walk his groom, or the groom had to walk his walk on the aisle. But I say, hey, no music, Kari Sahib is here today, have the Quran Sharif. The mess up then, the real mess up. So they replaced it. Now they thought, no, this Hindu thing is a little bit of an outdated thing, it looks very bad, you know. Like, so let's put a Christian thing on. So you don't want to change the thing, the wrong is wrong, corruption is corruption, decay is decay. In fact, I would say that Christian thing is even worse than the Hindu thing. Why? Because that Christian thing, you don't look at it with disgust. That Hindu thing, you look at it with disgust. Yeah, are we doing it all because it's an ancestral thing, let's do it. But this thing is, you know, it's a very, very cultured thing and very modified. And, you know, how nice, how elegant that thing looks now. You know, holding the hand and walking up on the aisle, how nice it looks. So in my understanding, it's even worse. It doesn't make it any better. Now, what I'm getting at now, that Mujaddid should do all this work. See, such a rigmarole, such a confusion. Everything is in a disarray. And all that which is in a disarray, he has to clean it up, put in its place. This is the place. This is where this belongs to. This is where this belongs to. This is where this belongs to. So put everything in its place. It's a big job. Big job it is. A lot of us are not either we're not acquainted or we didn't hear about this thing. No, we saw this thing there. What have we saw? So the Mujaddid will come and he will clean this thing out. But this is something exclusive to Islam, where it is purified and brought back to its original place. In other denominations, Christianity, Hinduism, a custom comes in, right? A ritual comes in, then that becomes part of the religion. Now, if you look into the Bible, wine is forbidden, right? Wine is forbidden. Swine is forbidden. But now today, there was one pastor that accepted Islam. He was studying for some time. So he says, one service can't be complete, one service is incomplete, if we don't have wine at the end. Before, the Bible, what he says, it's haram. Now they say that service can only be complete if you have the wine. So I asked that pastor, what was your job there? So he said, no, I was the DJ. I said, what is DJ? I said, no, DJ is something to do with music. Now if you look into the books by the Bible, you find there, music is haram. But now the service of this is not complete without the music. He was a DJ, proudly, you know, I'm the DJ of the church. See how it carries on. Now it's an accepted norm. All these things they introduced into Christianity, but because it's an expired religion, Allah Ta'ala didn't create a procedure for its correction and rectification. And for Islam, anybody tried to confuse, complicate, mix up things, Allah Ta'ala had someone come and rectify it. Islam, a lot of things happened. Lots of things happened, right? You mustn't think that nothing happened here. A lot of things happened. Here, we may have not heard of a lot of things, but in India, a lot of things happened. In Spain, a lot of things happened before. Right. Now also it must be happening, but before it happened, a lot of things should happen. India, now, the Peer Sahib will come in, right? So he'll come to make his visit after every year. So he was alright, this village here, and I got 10 murids or 100 murids I got here, so he'll stay about 3 days. So he has to collect his yearly package. See, he's going to one village and he must collect. So you have to go visit them, do actually making dua for them and all that. So they feel now we are already serviced for 1 year because we got his dua and king. So now he comes to the town and the villager says to him, the peer sahib, showing what happens. What is the work of this? We don't understand. We think it's a small thing. His work is very, very difficult. People complicate, they complicate, they mix up things. Now, they do it for what? Mainly for wealth. Wealth, a little bit of recognition, they do it for that. Now, people do these things, they are for wealth, for recognition, right? Sometimes it's wealth. 3 things on the way. Wealth, 2 is recognition, 3 is woman, right? These 3 evils were from the time of Adam alayhi salam, and now as well. Same. Wealth, recognition, and woman. So now he comes into the town. When he comes to the town, so one murid sees him. Please, after tum to bahut hi duble ho rahe, you're becoming very pale, very weak, man. Ah, khabisu. Filthy people, you don't read namaz. No roza, you don't do all these things. And I have to keep roza for you. And I have to read namaz for you. See how they... For their own material ends, they have to go and complicate this person's mind. Because if they don't complicate the mind, how do they make money? Say, no, you know, all your namaz, the whole year, now you're not reading namaz. All the time, I have to read namaz for you. You're not keeping roza. So I have to keep the rozas for you. That villager is so simple, he feels, the genuine peer. How much he's doing? See how pale he's gone. See how they mesmerize their minds. Or they confuse their minds. I'm just giving you this story, not to run anybody down, but I'm showing what happens in the name of deen. Deen becomes a business venture, commercialized. It becomes a business deal. It's no more pure now. So now, this villager now, he's got a simple little mind, he's believing the sheikh, he's believing the peer and all. Waqi tera pato bari musibat hai. Big problem for you, man. So, I see that 50 hectares I got there, all for you. You know, I got all the rice there, sugar cane, all that is yours. Now, the peer is getting very excited, 50 hectares, one strike, and I got 50 hectares, you know. So, 1 hectare is about, I think, 5 acres. 5 acres is 1 hectare. So, it's big, 50 hectares he's got. So, the peer is thinking now, you know, these village people, you can't trust them. Today you may just say that I give you this, tomorrow you may just change around, you know. So I need to go and get this official. So he can't change it. So today he became very emotional, and the emotions he just went giving it. Tomorrow he may just have a change of mind, then what will happen? So as things are hot now, you go and get it documented, official, stamped and registered, but there can't be any changes. So now, they're both walking, right? The peer and the murid. Out of respect, he's telling the peer to go in front. Now, I don't know if you've seen these farms in India. see the between two farms, like this is the sugar cane, and this is wheat, for example, right? So there is a small little wall, made of mud, but small wall, right? So there will be a rice farm, sugar cane farm, all separate, thin wall, right? Now this rice, I don't know if you've seen rice. Rice you can see in Punjab, like it's basmati, right? So you have to go and see all these things. You know what I'm talking about. So you have a small wall, so rice is growing in water. If there's a rice plantation, so much it's all submerged in water. So they submerge in water, that wall also, the dividing wall also is slippery. Small, slippery, right? Now they have to balance themselves very well to go across the wall, right? Now, as they're going across, the sheikh already told him, see, you guys are not doing namaz, no roza. And the worst of all is this, that you're not doing namaz, no, that pul sirat, that is even thinner than a sword, you know, that is thinner and sharper than a sword, I have to cross for you all. Now, you see how these villages are getting mesmerized. Can you see that? He's believing him. A pul sirat, thinner than a sword, is sharper than a sword. I have to cross for you, people. So anyway, now he's taking him across the wall. Now that thing is slippery. And as he's taking him across the wall, that peel sap just slipped. So the villager may be simple, but obviously not bad, right? So when the peel sap fell, he gave two kicks. You walking on the pul sirat, so thin, this thing here, you could cross over. You say that you every night you have to cross the pul sirat for me. See this Diwali that the Hindus have, right? They also all the stories that they give is something out of this world. I was talking about Pandit now, why do the Diwali? He says, no. See, there is one god they call Rama, right? One is called Sita. One is called, starts with a D, I can't remember the name. Can't just remember the name of, but it starts with a D, right? So this one that starts with a D, he hijacked Sita, who was Rama's wife. He hijacked her and took her to Sri Lanka, right? Now you see the stories they give, up till now, this thing is mentioned, but they're too ashamed to talk about it. Because now a god got hijacked. So this person that hijacked the god, he took her to his land. His land was Sri Lanka, that's Ceylon, right? So what he must have been doing with the goddess there, 1 year. Then Rama got the Hanuman. Hanuman is a monkey, right? He got the Hanuman to the work. The Hanuman came in, and he went and got the Sita. Now, how she must cross from Sri Lanka back into India. So the Hanuman, what he did, he extended his tail from India right to Ceylon, and she crossed over. So, way out stories. They also feel so ashamed, they can't talk about this thing yet. But then they believe it. The stupidity is that they believe it. The modern class, they don't talk about any of these stories. They just do it as a family tradition. But they don't want to talk about the stories. But you ask them about the stories, what it is all about, it's too embarrassing. They don't want to talk about it. But had it not been for this type of mujaddidin, type of yobani ulama and all that, right, then we would have been worse, the type of stories. Now this villager gives him two kicks, says, no, hey, I'm not giving you the farm. You can't cross this small little wall here, and how can you cross over the pul sirat every day? Misleading. So there's so much of confusion. I can see this confusion now, what they do. I'm surprised. I was by one doctor, right? Some many years ago. The doctor is late now. The doctor is quite a pious person. So he's pulling out a kitab. And he says, you see his kitab, what he says. You do this wazifa, right? This wazifa you must do. And all your qaza namazes of the past, all is waived. I said, hey, Dr. Sir, just give me the kitab. That kitab is not meant for you. It's not meant for you. that kitab is not to be studied, not to be followed, not to be emulated. Because sometimes you don't know who is the compiler. So you are the compiler. You saw one kitab here, one kitab here, one kitab here, brought together, and you published that thing. This person says, yeah, but this person that compiled it is a very pious person. So what he says must be right. But now you see what happens there. Now I saw the kitab myself. We just do this wasifa, and all the qazas of the past, everything is muffed. See how these thoughts come up. People put their own 2 cents. And one thing happened to me. I was sitting in a tikaf here some 20 years ago. This man was a pastor, you know, quite a wealthy person. So he's telling me, you know, I'm going for Umrah. MashaAllah. So he'll come to make dua. He'll make dua for him. So now I got a masla to ask. For what? So I've got about 15 years of qazas, you know. So I'm going for Umrah now. And, you know, one namaz by the Haram Sharif is 100,000. Right? So, plus in the month of Ramadan, you know, it's escalated to 100,000 plus multiplied by another 70, right? So, will I cover up all my past qazas? I do all my namaz day in Haram Sharif, my rozas and all that. Plus 100,000 plus multiplied by 70, right? Mind-boggling numbers, right? Will I get all my qaza namazes over? So I told that chacha, I told him, you know, if you're going to apply that formula, not only you will have marked all the past, even the future you would have been the past. Everything will be marked, everything. Past and future, all the records are finished. Now you see how they complicate things. They have to tell that person, see, sit down, chacha, sit down. Exclusion. I was surprised, quite intelligent in business, very sharp. You know, he got a good mind of his own, right? Excellent. But now here, and anybody can give any story and they'll buy that thing and they carry on. So every time, but this is only with regards to the virtue and salab, not with respect to the obligation. Obligation, you have to fulfill that obligation. See? Not with regards to the fulfillment of the obligation, it is only the virtue of the salab, nothing beyond that. So you see, this Mujaddid's work is so complicated. And now I'll show you the work of the murid. He must come with a clean talab. His desire, his search will be clean. No contamination about the sheikh. And the sheikh must also be someone that is competent, number one. And he wants to give, see. He wants to. So the more compassionate he is, see, he has to be the deputy of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sifat was harisun alaykum, very anxious, wants to give, very anxious. Isn't he anxious? Anxious, haris, the word that's been used is haris. A simple translation would be greedy. In other words, he wants to give it to you. Greed, what do you mean by greed? Irresistible. You can't resist. You can't resist. I know one chacha from Durban, you know, he went for the Hajj, first Hajj event, 1945 somewhere, went, right? So he's giving, he's dead and gone now, so I can talk about him, nobody knows who I'm talking about. So now, first Hajj, now he doesn't know how to buy things, what to say, where to go. Now it's very hot, and he saw some Arabs sitting down, right? And they sliced one watermelon, it is so nice, cool, refreshing. But he doesn't know how to buy the thing, but he can't resist his temptation. So he studied what he did. He went there and said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just put his hand. Can't resist. So it's irresistible, you see. It's so tempting, it's irresistible. So Rasulullah's muhabbat for us, his love for us, he couldn't resist. He wants to give it. He can't hold back. He wants to give. So the sheikh has to be like, he wants to give. He must be competent, but he wants to give. And the talib must be such that he's got a clean search. He's searching, but his mind is absolutely clean. No pollution. Then, you see, then to ajaib the king. Then you see, hey, magic, it's working. But if there is some fault, the talib is coming in, student is coming in, but his mind has got some reservations, hesitation, he's not that clean, right? and he once he feels that he's capable, you know, he's got already he's got an ego about himself, I'm so capable, and like this, right? So you'll complicate the whole path. The whole path will be complicated. You know, things can happen for me like this, how it happened for us, you know, Jitin. He just came in, he got his khilafah. So things can happen for me like that. You know. So if you come in with that type of a mind, you're spoiling it. Then you can't get the flow, you can't get the speed. So anyway, we're talking about Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullahi, and he's been instructed by Nabi Sam perhaps to go to India. And I told you why, because not because he brought Islam here, but he had to do the reformation. See, over when Islam started, now it's 576. So he passed in 576, so he must be there 520 something, right? So he's coming into India 520, 530. And there's so much of wrong, confusion, everything's hanging on. They have, up to now in India, Urus and all these big things, major things. So, one whole procession is going for the Urus. Ajmer Sharif is going for the procession. Now that procession, that's the mark of 300, 400 years ago. Whole procession means about 400, 500 people going all horseback, camelback, donkeyback, they're going, right? So one Baba saw this thing here. Baba is giving his client a haircut. So he saw, hey, I must join this thing. So the one that is having his haircut, he said, "Bhai, finish my work first because it's half done. How I look, like a cloud I look here." So well, I'll get left. This procession is going already. They'll leave me and they'll carry on. So don't worry, I'll work a plan for you. So his client was a buzuruk, very pious person. He said, "All right, what do you do?" He wrote a letter. He said, "Well, when you go to the grave, then you'll find a person with this features, just hand deliver it to him." So he told him, "All right, this is now the letter, and this is the person that gave me the letter to be given to you." So he wrote the answer. Now, the sheikh now sees answers. See, the person that he met, what was Hazrat Mu'inuddin himself. Right? And he says, what he's saying here, this badmash, all these scoundrels with the singing, the music and the qawwali, they're giving me a headache here. Ask them to leave the place. Because his karamat, the man came out of the grave, and he's saying, this counter, that's what the word, badmashun. Sare badmashun, dimag ko kharab kar diya. They give a headache this place. I have to leave this place here. So this reformation, how much is needed to bring it back on course, come back. So then he started his work. He came to India, he started his work. So in his one journey, from Calcutta to Delhi, right, one journey. History is recorded, Abu Hasan Saad Ahmed's father, he's a historian, and he was a Tariq Farishtan, Indian history. In one journey, 3.5 million accepted Islam, one journey. Besides the Reformation, one is the Reformation in work, and then the converts, 3.5 million. We're talking of India, means approximately 1,000 years ago. Now it's 1440, right? That was now 520, so approximately 1,000 years ago. So the population must be very much lesser, right? Communication very much more difficult. Right? But in a single journey, he got 3.5 million people right, for them to Islam. Now you can now then do the calculation afterwards. From that, how many ulamas have been produced? These men may have gone into the families. Sometimes one person is representing 50 people, 100 people. He's the key person of that whole crowd, right? So he has an influence. So how much of Islam has this have spread? But now, when you analyze the story again, it was the level of righteousness of the heart that impacted on the people. So what is needed now? Now what is needed? With the tabligh effort, right? Tabligh effort is one effort that's needed. You can't discount it, right? Is a hanka effort, right? Because otherwise what will happen, the tabligh thing will just become like a customary thing. There's no feelings, no emotions, no feelings. There's a customary thing. You did your 3 days, come from school for 3 days. So it becomes a customary thing. Now you're going out in jamaat, but then you're going, half the time you're playing with the phones, or others are playing with the phones, right? They're behaving, misbehaving, right? So when they're behaving and misbehaving, then will you have the desired effect? Think to yourself, you know, I came out less in jamaat, right? But I remember 76, 77. I just came from India, right? 76, I think it was. Yeah. So, from 77. So there was a Jamaat from Aligarh University. It was from Professor Nadir Ali Khan. Some of you have heard of him or seen him, right? And there was that Faruqi Bhai. So I joined there for about 10, 12 days. Like usually, I used to do my Taraweeh in 10 days, then I'm free. Thrice over, so I joined them. But I used to see diligently, without a failure, they were getting up at about 2 o'clock in the morning. One is crying, one is making Quran Sharif, one is making zikr. And by the morning, like nothing happened. Nobody shows that I was doing it and nobody's impressing on the other. So now, you can imagine if a Jamaat is there, they're crying, making zikr, Quran Sharif, namaz, won't it have an effect on the Jamaat itself? Won't it have an effect on the surrounding itself? So that's why I say the Jamaat effort has to go concurrent with the Khanqa effort, right? So that becomes a life. It speeds the whole thing. Then the whole area is illuminated. Otherwise, one problem can be that there's no life, and then there's a lot of frivolous things, right? Unnecessary things. Doesn't concern you, you know, the fight, getting an argument, this one is right, that one is not right, and all type of unnecessary arguments go on. So both has to be tied up together, reconciled. When it's reconciled, then you see the magnificent effect. Sometimes the work itself has got the effect, but we are not adding the ingredients to create the effect. You see, a cake must be sweet, right? But you have to add the ingredient to get the sweetness. So you want everything but the sugar, and you get the sweetness. And when you don't have the sweetness, can it work? You can still say it's a cake, yeah, it's a cake. But will you get people buying the cake? Why? So same, but the work is right? But the ingredient to attract and to touch people's hearts and minds, that is left out. And that is left out, can it work? Think to yourself. So 3.5 means 35 lakh. That's the kitab. 35 lakh means 3.5 million in one journey they accepted Islam. So both has to be tied together. So the case of Allah Ta'ala today, what we spoke about is these rituals, customs, right? And the havoc that is done, then you need to have a reformer, right? A mujaddid. Mujaddid, what he has to do? He has to replace things that were displaced and misplaced, to bring them back into place. The thing can only have its charm and its beauty when it's in its place. If not in its place, will it have its charm? See, the most beautiful thing in a human being is the skin and the hair, right? Agree? Three things are the most beautiful thing, right? The skin, the hair, the teeth, right? It's about the most beautiful things of the human being, right? But if the hair is taken out, right, the skin is placed on one side, and the teeth is there, now does it look nice. In its place, you can't find anything as beautiful. The skin, the hair, and the teeth. In place, it's most beautiful, right? You see, his teeth are like a pearl. But just all the dentists would extract it, no? The hair, the barber cut off the hair, no? Or the skin has been peeled off and it's placed, no? It pleased me. It's looking very unsightly now. Just move it away. But when it was on the body, so you see this replace and displace, replace and displace. What a big problem it is to displace. You can't find anything more disgusting. And replacing, most beautiful. But that's a kind of story.